Book 8, Chapter 14, How Hadad, King of Damascus and of Syria, made two expeditions against Ahab and was beaten. When the affairs of Ahab were thus, at that very time the son of Hadad, Ben-Hadad, who was king of the Syrians and of Damascus, got together an army out of all his country, and procured 32 kings beyond Euphrates to be his auxiliaries. So he made an expedition against Ahab. But because Ahab's army was not like that of Ben-Hadad, he did not set it in array to fight him, but having shut up everything that was in the country in the strongest cities he had, he abode in Samaria himself, for the walls about it were very strong, and it appeared to be not easily to be taken in other respects also. So the king of Syria took his army with him, and came to Samaria, and placed his army round about the city, and besieged it. He also sent a herald to Ahab, and desired he would admit the ambassadors he would send him, by whom he would let him know his pleasure. So, upon the king of Israel's permission for him to send, those ambassadors came, and by their king's command spake thus, that Ahab's riches, and his children, and his wives, were Ben-Hadad's, and if he would make an agreement, and give him leave to take as much of what he had as he pleased, he would withdraw his army and leave off the siege. Upon this Ahab bade the ambassadors to go back, and tell their king that both he himself and all that he hath are his possessions. And when these ambassadors had told this to Ben-Hadad, he sent to him again, and desired, since he confessed that all he had was his, that he would admit those servants of his which he should send the next day, and he commanded him to deliver those whom he should send whatsoever, upon their searching his palace, and the houses of his friends and kindred, they should find to be excellent in its kind, but what that did not please them they should leave to him. At this second embassage of the king of Syria, Ahab was surprised, and gathered together the multitude to a congregation, and told them that, for himself, he was ready, for their safety and peace, to give up his own wives and children to the enemy, and to yield to him all his own possessions, for that was what the Syrian king required at his first embassage, but that now he desires to send his servants to search all their houses, and in them leave nothing that is excellent in its kind, seeking an occasion of fighting against him, as knowing that I would not spare what is mine own for your sakes, but taking a handle from the disagreeable terms he offers concerning you to bring a war upon us. However, I will do what you shall resolve is fit to be done. But the multitude advised him to hearken to none of his proposals, but to despise him, and be in readiness to fight him. Accordingly, when he had given the ambassadors this answer to be reported, that he still continued in the mind to comply with what terms he had at first desired, for the safety of the citizens, but as for his second desires, he cannot submit to them, he dismissed them. Now when Ben-Hadad heard this, he had imagination, and sent ambassadors to Ahab the third time, and threatened that his army would raise a bank higher than those walls, in confidence of whose strength he despised him, and that by only each man of his army taking a handful of earth, hereby making a show of the great number of his army, and aiming to affright him. Ahab answered that he ought not vaunt himself when he had only to put on his armor, but when he should have conquered his enemies in the battle. So the ambassadors came back, and found the king at supper with his 32 kings, and informed him of Ahab's answer, who immediately gave order for proceeding thus, to make lines round the city, and to raise a bulwark, and to prosecute the siege in all manner of ways. Now, as this was doing, Ahab was in a great agony, and all his people with him. But he took courage, and was freed from his fears, upon a certain prophet coming to him, and saying to him, that God had promised to subdue so many tens of thousands of his enemies under him. And when he inquired by whose means the victory was to be obtained, he said, By the sons of the princes, but under thy conduct as their leader, by reason of their unskillfulness in war. Upon which he called for the sons of the princes, and found them to be 232 persons. So when he was informed that the king of Syria had betaken himself to feasting and repose, he opened the gates, and sent out the prince's sons. Now when the sentinels told Ben-Hadad of it, he sent some to meet them, and commanded them that if these men were come out for fighting, they should bind them, and bring them to him, and that if they came out peaceably, they should do the same. Now Ahab had another army ready within the walls, but the sons of the princes fell upon the outguard, and slew many of them, and pursued the rest of them to the camp. And when the king of Israel saw that these had the upper hand, he sent out all the rest of his army, which falling suddenly upon the Syrians beat them, for they did not think they would have come out. On which account it was that they assaulted him when they were naked and drunk, insomuch that they left all their armor behind them when they fled out of the camp. And the king himself escaped with difficulty, by fleeing away on horseback. But Ahab went a great way in pursuit of the Syrians, and when he had spoiled their camp, which contained a great deal of wealth, and moreover a large quantity of gold and silver, he took Ben-Hadad's chariots and horses, and returned to the city. But as the prophet told him, he ought to have his army ready, because the Syrian king would make another expedition against him the next year, Ahab was busy in making provision for it accordingly. Now Ben-Hadad, when he had saved himself, and as much of his army as he could, out of the battle, he consulted with his friends how he might make another expedition against the Israelites. Now those friends advised him not to fight with them on the hills, because their God was potent in such places, and thence it had come to pass that they had very lately been beaten. But they said that if they joined battle with them in the plain, they should beat them. They also gave him this further advice, to send home those kings whom he had brought as his auxiliaries, but to retain their army, and to set captains over it instead of the kings, and to raise an army out of their country, and let them be in the place of the former who had perished in the battle, together with horses and chariots. So he judged their counsel to be good, and acted according to it in the management of the army. At the beginning of the spring, Ben-Hadad took his army with him, and led it against the Hebrews. And when he was come to a certain city which was called Aphek, he pitched his camp in the great plain. Ahab also went to meet him with his army, and pitched his camp over against him, although his army was a very small one, if it were compared with the enemy's. But the prophet came again to him, and told him that God would give him the victory, that he might demonstrate his own power to be, not only on the mountains, but on the plains also, which it seems was contrary to the opinion of the Syrians. So they lay quiet in their camp 7 days, but on the last of those days, when the enemies came out of their camp and put themselves in array in order to fight, Ahab also brought out his own army. And when the battle was joined, they fought valiantly. He put the enemy to flight, and pursued them, and pressed them, and slew them. Nay, they were destroyed by their own chariots, and by one another, nor could any more than a few of them escape to their own city Aphek, who were also killed by the walls falling upon them, being in number 27,000. Now there were slain in this battle 100,000 more, but Ben-Hadad, the king of the Syrians, fled away, with certain others of his most faithful servants, and hid himself in a cellar underground. And when these told him that the kings of Israel were humane and merciful men, and that they might make use of the usual manner of supplication, and obtain deliverance from Ahab, in case he would give them leave to go to him, he gave them leave accordingly. So they came to Ahab, clothed in sackcloth, with ropes about their heads, for this was the ancient manner of supplication among the Syrians, and said that Ben-Hadad desired he would save him, and that he would ever be a servant to him for that favor. Ahab replied that he was glad he was alive, and not hurt in the battle, and he further promised him the same honor and kindness that a man would show to his brother. So they received assurances upon oath from him, that when he came to him he should receive no harm from him, and then went and brought him out of the cellar wherein he was hid, and brought him to Ahab as he sat in his chariot. So Ben-Hadad worshipped him, and Ahab gave him his hand, and made him come up to him in his chariot, and kissed him, and bid him be of good cheer, and not to expect that any mischief should be done to him. So Ben-Hadad returned him thanks, and professed that he would remember his kindness to him in all the days of his life, and promised he would restore those cities of the Israelites which the former kings had taken from them, and grant that he should have leave to come to Damascus, as his forefathers had come to Samaria. So they confirmed their covenant by oaths, and Ahab made him many presents, and sent him back to his own kingdom. And this was the conclusion of the war that Ben-Hadad made against Ahab and the Israelites. But a certain prophet, whose name was Micaiah, came to one of the Israelites, and bid him smite him on the head, for by so doing he would please God. But when he would not do so, he foretold to him that since he disobeyed the commands of God, he should meet with a lion, and be destroyed by him. When that sad accident had befallen the man, the prophet came to another, and gave him the same injunction. So he smote him, and wounded his skull, upon which he bound up his head, and came to the king, and told him that he had been a soldier of his, and had the custody of one of the prisoners committed to him by an officer, and that the prisoner, being run away, he was in danger of losing his own life by the means of that officer, who had threatened him, that if the prisoner escaped he would kill him. And when Ahab said that he would justly die, he took off the binding about his head, and was known by the king to be Micaiah the prophet, who had made use of this artifice as a prelude to his following words. For he said that God would punish him who had suffered Ben-Hadad, a blasphemer against him, to escape punishment, and that he would so bring it about that he should die by the other's means, and that he would so bring it about that he should die by the other's means, and his people by the other's army. Upon which Ahab was very angry at the prophet, and gave commandment that he should be put in prison, and there kept. But for himself he was in confusion at the words of Micaiah, and returned to his own house.